Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues our series, The Gratitude Initiative, with a message titled, Giving Thanks When You're Not Thankful. Now here's Pastor Ray.
In the Bible, in Scripture, there are over 200 references to gratitude, to the call of gratitude. Obviously, this business of being thankful is a very big deal to God. And there is no text that is as concise and direct out of these 200 references. There's no text that is direct and concise as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. I want you to turn there. It'll appear on the screen in just a moment. This is going to be our singular text this morning, our one simple text this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Okay? And I want you to read this with me. Every voice aloud, reading, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. That's it. This is God's will for you. Class dismissed. You can go home. Just go do it, right? No, I'm kidding, because I get paid by the word, so you need to just stay for a while. I need to earn some money this morning. This is God's will for you, that you will always continually always be grateful no matter what is going on. Now, I want you to think about how profound and how powerful this one little text is. It is uncomplicated, isn't it? I mean, this is not complex. This is not rocket science. It is uncomplicated. It's easy to understand and simple to obey. You notice I didn't say it's easy to obey, but it's simple to obey. It's easy to understand. It is uncomplicated. There's no hidden meaning in the Greek text. There's no secret, deeper meaning to what Paul was saying here. The Greek word for give thanks is eucharisto. We're going to come back to that later on as we close the service. Eucharisto, give thanks. And that means, that word means, are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? It means give thanks. In the Greek, it means to give thanks. That's right. It means to feel grateful. To be thankful and to say thanks. It's not just enough, as Pastor Joel talked about last week, to just feel it in your heart. It's important that you have it inside you to be a grateful person, but you have to do something with it. And that's why we speak forth our gratitude. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's also unlimited. There's no limit to gratitude. The word always, continually, and all are inclusive, calling us to praise. This verse is calling us to praise and to pray and to give thanks, to be grateful incessantly in good times and in bad. By the way, when Paul wrote this, and the backstory to this is in Acts chapter 17, if you want to follow up with this and read about the context for Thessalonians, but Paul wrote this after he had barely escaped a mob in the city of Thessalonica that was bent on murdering him for preaching Christ. He had to get out of town. He went into Thessalonica. He preached for only 3 weeks, and it caused a riot, and they wanted to kill him. And so his Christian friends, these newly born-again people, whisked Paul out of town under the cover of darkness. And he left a church only 3 weeks old, and so he wrote them a letter. And now this church, in Paul's absence, this church was the target of persecution. It was dangerous to be a Christian. There was a price to be paid to follow Christ. And he wrote back to them these words, always be grateful. Don't stop being thankful. You see, there is nothing that is to limit our gratitude. It's unlimited. And it's ultimate. Think about this text here. It is ultimate. The text has a finality about it, doesn't it? Thankfulness is at the core of God's will for you, period. You want to know what the will of God for your life is? I mean, we often wrestle with the will of God. We often ask, how do I find God's will for my life? Well, it says it right here, as plain as it can be. Be grateful. This is God's will for you. Now, why does God say that to us through the Apostle Paul and through others and through these 200 or so references in Scripture? Why does God call us so strongly to be grateful? Well, among other reasons, I think probably the strongest reason is this, that gratitude is the chief characteristic. It is the chief characteristic that identifies you as belonging to God. What makes you Christian? What makes you Christian in the eyes of others, in the eyes of other Christians, in the eyes of a watching world, in the eyes of God? What makes you Christian? The fact that you are a fundamentally grateful being. On the other hand, ingratitude is one of the leading indicators that your redemption has gone off the rails somewhere. If you're a grumbler and a griper more than you are a person who is grateful, that's a strong indication that something has happened in your redemption, in your salvation, and you need to get back and take care of it. You cannot be a grateful, grumbling person at the same time and be a Christian and be a child of God. It just doesn't work. The two won't abide one another. You cannot be a grateful, grumbling Christian. You know, if I were able to watch your life, to see your life played out on videotape from last Sunday when Pastor Joel launched the sermon, the series, if I were to watch your life on videotape in living color every waking moment for the last 7 days until now, if the emails of your life were leaked to me by WikiLeaks somehow, and I was able to look into who you really are, I could assess, I could rate your Christianity by your ratio of griping to gratitude. Turn to somebody and say, ouch. Yeah, it's true. It's that important. We are fundamentally identified as creations of the Creator, as redeemed people who Jesus gave his life for on the cross by our response of gratitude. It's that powerful. And so we are in this gratitude initiative, not simply to tie into the Thanksgiving holiday, not just because this is a good theme for November, but because this is God's uncomplicated, unlimited, ultimate will for us, that we be grateful. And I'm convinced that as we grasp this concept of gratitude and as we live it out through our lives, that our practice of gratitude can become a radical countercultural movement in our world. I really believe that, and I aim to start a gratitude revolution in this church. My goal through this series is that somehow this would catch on, that the Holy Spirit would cause us to be fired up in our lives, that we would start a gratitude revolution that would change, that could possibly, and I think even would, change the dynamics in our homes, in our community, and even in our nation. And Lord knows we need it in the good old USA right about now, don't we? Don't we need a change of the dynamics that's going on in our culture? What is the key to that? How can we do that? I think it's right here, by being fundamentally grateful people. Gratitude is the catalyst. Gratitude is the catalyst. It's that powerful. Back in 2007, there was an article, I remember reading this, in a news site that I was looking at. It originally appeared in the Seattle Times, and it was authored by Bruce Chapman. Bruce Chapman, I don't know if he's a believer or not, but he's a researcher and a professor at the University of Washington. And the article that he wrote, it was a fairly lengthy article, was on the multifaceted benefits of gratitude. Now, again, I don't know if he's Christian or not, but what he found and what he wrote certainly identifies and is congruent with Scripture. But this is what he wrote. He talked about, again, the multifaceted benefits of being a grateful person. He says that giving thanks should be cultivated as a habit. It's not just something that happens. We have to cultivate it, right? It needs to be cultivated as a habit. He says it is therapy for the spirit. I don't think he's talking about spiritually it's a benefit, although it is. I think he's talking about the psychological benefits that come from being a grateful person. Spiritual, emotional, psychological benefit. And then he goes on to talk about the physical benefits. He says some medical scientists think that gratitude is healing to the body. And he goes on to talk about the various research that bears this out. And then he says this. He says, thankfulness can also lift the spirit of a nation. Thankfulness can also lift the spirit of a nation. There's societal benefits to gratitude. When he says, when one is grateful, When one is grateful, it's hard to feel angry, resentful, or bitter. If enough people together are grateful, it's hard for anger and bitterness and resentment to foment as it has in our society. And if enough of us Christians would display our public lives as fundamentally grateful beings, I believe that we would start a revolution that just might be the salvation of our nation. Now listen, I don't know who you're putting your money on this week. I don't know which horse is yours. You haven't told me. I can kind of tell, but you haven't really told me, and I haven't told you what I'm going to do. But I want to tell you this, that Donald Trump will not make America great again. And Hillary Clinton will not make us stronger together. Amen. You know, that was a little louder than the... The only hope of America will be the witness of grateful believers. Yeah. The only hope of America will be grateful believers, come what may. You think I'm nuts. You think I'm overstating things. You think I'm doing just what pastors do. We speak in hyperbole. We exaggerate. But I'm not. I mean, let me ask you this. Why else is gratitude so prominently themed in Scripture if it's not that powerful? Why else would God clearly say to us, always be thankful. This is my will for you. Gratitude is that powerful. I'm telling you, friends, being fundamentally thankful has that much transformative power to it. You want to change America? Then live as a grateful human being. You want to change your life? Then practice gratitude. You want to change the dynamics in your marriage and in your home and in your school and in your business and in this church and in this community? Practice gratitude. Express your thanksgiving. Be a fundamentally, organically, incessantly grateful human being. It works. An author by the name of Greg Anderson tells of the impact of gratitude in the life of one particular man. In a book that he wrote, he tells the story of this one particular man whose wife had left him, leaving him deeply depressed. This man had lost faith. He had given up hope. He'd lost faith in himself. He lost faith in people. He'd lost faith in God. He'd lost faith in life. He had just given up, and he was depressed. And one morning, he woke up, and it was a rainy, cold morning. He decided to get up and to go to breakfast at a local diner. He walked into the diner, and it had a few people sitting around in it. And they were all eating, just kind of shoveling food into their mouths, and they weren't speaking. There was not a word being said. It was just silent. People were just busy with their own needs. And in walked a mother with her little girl, and they sat in a booth. The waitress came up and took their order, and by, she brought the order to the mom and her little girl, and the mom and turned around to leave, and the mom started to eat, and the little girl very loudly broke the silence. She said, "Mommy, how come we don't say our prayers here?" And the waitress turned back on her heels and she said, "Why, honey, we do pray here. Why don't you lead us in giving thanks?" And then the waitress turned back around to the crowd and she said, "Everybody, bow your heads." And they all did. And so the little girl bowed her head, she folded her hands, and she began to pray, "God is good, God is great, and we thank you for our food." And that simple little prayer of gratitude changed the atmosphere. People unbowed their heads and they began to talk to one another. They began to laugh. They began to smile. The joy factor in the room was exponentially increased. And the waitress looked around and said, "We ought to do this every morning." Why not? The guy relating this story said, suddenly, through that little girl's example, through her prayer of gratitude, his perspective was dramatically changed. He said he started to thank God from that moment forward. He started to thank God for all that he had, not what he didn't have. He said, "I began from that moment on to thank God and to choose happiness for my life." Gratitude in all circumstances is God's healing therapy. Let me say that again. Gratitude in all circumstances is God's healing therapy for your life, for your family, for this community, for this nation. We are called to be thankful even when we're not. Even when we don't have much reason for gratitude, we are called to be thankful. Listen to the words of theologian Henry Nouwen. This is what he said. To be grateful for the good things that happen in our lives is easy, but to be grateful for all of our lives, the good as well as the bad, the moments of joy as well as the moments of sorrow, the successes as well as the failures, that requires hard spiritual work. Still, we are only grateful people when we can say thank you to all that has brought us to this present moment. As long as we keep dividing our lives between events and people we would like to remember and those we would rather forget, we cannot claim the fullness of our beings as a gift of God to be grateful for. Let us not be afraid to look at everything that has brought us to where we are now and trust that we will soon see in it the guiding hand of a loving God. And that brings me to the simple, singular proposition of this sermon. That yes, gratitude is powerful, but its exponential power is released when we practice gratitude even when we don't feel too thankful. That's the height of gratitude. That's the spirituality of thankfulness. That's the core of what this means. That even when things aren't rolling our way, we can still, out of trust and faith and obedience, offer gratitude to God. That's when the power of gratitude is exponentially released in our lives and in our world. It's true. So I want you to say it again with me. Would you do that? Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. It's God's will. In all circumstances. It's God's will. And so I want to challenge you as we begin to end this sermon, as we come to the Lord's table, I want to challenge you to get intentionally grateful this week. Now, it should be every day. It should be every week. It should be all year long. But in particular, I'm going to give you a limited assignment. And I want to challenge you this week that you would get intentionally grateful. Especially when the alls, you know, all circumstances, especially when the alls include unwanted, uninvited circumstances that intrude into your life. And there will be some this week, I guarantee it, that you would be intentionally grateful. And I want to show you how. Here's some steps to do that. First of all, I would challenge you to identify those unwanteds in your life. Maybe they're there right now. Or maybe they're going to come this week, one or the other. They're going to be there. And I would challenge you to literally identify them. Write them down on a piece of paper. Note them in your journal. Why should you do this? Because this will enable you to respond to them rather than react to them after the fact. If you're caught on your heels and you're being reactive, then you haven't been proactive. You haven't been intentional. So write them down. Get ahead of them when they come. Write them so you can respond to them. Things like physical illness. You wake up sick or something happens this week physically. Maybe it's a financial challenge. Maybe it's difficulty in your marriage or the frustration of singleness or hostility at work or at school or a bad outcome to the election. That's going to happen for about at least 50% of the people in the United States. But more than likely, and I don't wish any bad thing on anyone, but more than likely it's going to be the little irritations that get to you. It's the little foxes, Solomon said, that spoil the vines. It's not always the big bad things that happen. It's just little things that happen that make you want to gripe and complain. I was taking the garbage out last night. I wasn't complaining about that. I just was doing it. It's my assignment. Linda tells me I have to do it. I get home from church and she says, "Take out the trash, oh man of God." And so I obey. And so I took out the recycle, and we have this big recycle bin. Oh my goodness. We single-handedly keep those people in business with the cardboard that we put into that thing. And so I opened up the thing and the bin, and I was dumping this stuff in, and the lid came down and whacked me in the head. And I didn't feel too grateful at that moment. It's the little things. And so I caught myself, and I said, God, I don't understand it, but thanks. Maybe I need a whack in the head. It's probably going to be in the little things, but it may be in some big things. But you determine ahead of time. Identify the unwanteds. You might say, well, you know, I would rather not dwell on the negatives. I don't like that. I want to forget about that stuff. I don't like that death talk stuff. You know, I want to press on to the positive, to paraphrase the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:13. He says, you know, look, I forget about what's behind me, and I press on toward the goal. It sounds like a very positive message, doesn't it? But keep in mind also that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, I will gladly boast about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight. And then he identifies his weaknesses. He says, that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. He named them. He named names. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So I want to challenge you to record them. Record them, because it serves notice on the unwanteds that come into your life, that they are about to be recruited as causes for praise and thanksgiving. Serve notice on them by writing them down. And then secondly, goes along with this, thank God for each one of them. Thank God for each one of them. Offer gratitude for each of those unwanteds. Next to your written unwanteds, record an expression of praise for them. That won't be easy. You're not going to feel like it. But what an incredible act of trust to say, God, thank you, because in this is something for me. God, thank you. I know you are using these to shape me. God, you are fulfilling your purposes through all things work together for my good and your glory, because I am called to be your child. It's an incredible act of gratitude, is an incredible act of trust that is a unique gift to God. The only thing that God doesn't have, because he's the creator of all, the one thing that God doesn't have is your trust. And when you give him your trust, what a gift that is to the Lord. So with the unwanteds, I want you to write them down and then write out an offering of praise for each one of them. Literally, write it out. And here's what you're banking on. Paul says, these light and momentary troubles, he calls them light and momentary, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs the trouble. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the unwanted is. It might be big, it might be small. Guess what? It's all small by comparison to what God is working in you eternally through them. I've pondered these for many years now, and I want to share them with you. The words of a brilliant hymn writer and theologian, a Scottish man by the name of George Matheson, 150 years ago. This is what he prayed. He said, my God, I have never thanked thee for my thorns. I have thanked thee 1,000 times for my roses, but not once for my thorns. I have been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensation for my cross, but I have never thought of my cross as itself a present glory. Teach me the glory of my cross. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. Show me that my tears have made my rainbow. Powerful, profound words. By the way, George Matheson, when he was 20 years old, was afflicted with total blindness, went totally blind. And if a young man who lost his sight in the prime of his life can thank God for it, then you can practice gratitude for the unwanted stuff in your life too. Practice gratitude. And then finally, thirdly, predetermine this week to view disappointment as his appointment in your life. Whatever your disappointment, change one letter and it becomes his appointment for you. Predetermine. Don't wait till it happens, but you predetermine right now, God, whatever that is, I am going to redirect it. I'm going to refocus it. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to accept it as a disappointment. I'm going to accept it as your appointment, his appointment for my life. James wrote this. He said, when your life is full of difficulties, be happy. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Let it grow, for fully developed endurance means you are complete, not lacking anything. Thank God for thorns. Thank God for troubles. Thank God for trials. They're developing in us something, a greater glory that far outweighs the trouble. Here's what I know. God has arranged this week for some unwanted guests to come into your life. In his grace, in his mercy, in his sovereignty, he's arranged it for this to happen. And as you face them with gratitude, this will be an incredibly fruitful week for you. You want to develop fruit in your life? Here it comes. This will be an incredibly fruitful week for you if you welcome them with gratitude. A man by the name of Francis Frangipane wrote this. He said, speaking about Joseph, using the Old Testament Joseph as an example, he said, God made Joseph fruitful in the very things that afflicted him. The land of your affliction is the place where God will make you fruitful. Consider even now the area of greatest affliction in your life. In that area, God will make you fruitful in such a way that your heart will be fully satisfied and God's heart fully glorified. So, as they come, immediately, organically, publicly, give thanks in every circumstance. This is God's will for you. Amen. We're going to come to the Lord's table in a moment. I'm going to ask for our servers to prepare, for our singers to come. You know, I've been thinking about this sermon a lot this week. I've been kind of living it out. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, we canceled our trip to Ethiopia and got home on a Sunday afternoon, and Linda mainly unwound all the reservations and deposits and things like that for our team and for us. And she got that done. I said, Linda, we plan to be away anyway, so why don't we see if we can take some time off and go away and just pray and read and relax and just recalibrate. So through the generosity of some friends, we were given a home to use in Sun River at no cost. And so we went over there. We left on Wednesday. It took us a few days. It took Linda a few days to unwind all of this, and I just sat around and coached her. But anyway, she did the work. And so then Wednesday came, and we loaded up the car, Linda's car, to drive up over the mountain. It gets better gas mileage than mine. It's a newer car. And we had the car packed to the rafters for stuff that we needed for a few days. And so we got to the car, and we got in it. I turned the ignition on, and it said, warning, engine malfunction. See your dealer. Do not drive. Don't touch this. Get out of the car. Right? And it didn't say all that, but basically it was warning us. It was one of those serious warning lights. Do not go anywhere. And I thought about this opportunity to be grateful. I thought, okay, I'm not going to gripe. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to grumble about this. So I said, well, let's just throw the stuff in my car, which we did. And it's a little bit bigger of a car. It's good to get over the mountains, and it gets horrible gas mileage, but we took it. We left, and we enjoyed a few days over there. And then this Tuesday on the way back, we got in the car and I called up the dealership and I said, hey, this is what happened in my wife's car. And it says, you know, we need to bring it in. And when we get home, I'm going to bring it in. I want to make an appointment with you. And the lady on the other line, the service department said, do not drive it. Call a tow truck. Have it towed in. Do not drive it in. Do not do that. Get a tow truck. So I went, oh boy, okay. So we got home, and Linda had to come in here for an appointment, and so I called the roadside service, and they said, sure, we'll send out a tow truck, and they did. A half hour later, the tow truck showed up, and the guy put the car up on the bed of the truck, and he said, hop in, because I needed to go to the dealership anyway. He said, hop in, and he was a guy probably about my age, had a pack of cigarettes in between us, and I didn't smoke or anything like that, just to let you know. So Amy was very friendly, started to chat. We had a good conversation for a few miles, and then he turned political. And his politics were a lot different than mine. And I started to feel this ingratitude, this grumbling, this, you know, defensiveness. And I thought, well, no, wait a minute. God, you said give thanks in every circumstance. So there's something here for me. And I thought, this is my opportunity to steer the conversation into a spiritual conversation. And interestingly, as he was talking about politics, he then began to talk about the shape of the world, the condition of our nation and the world today. And he said, man, it's really getting bad. I don't see much hope for it. And I said, you know, I'm a pastor, and I was going to tell him about the work that this church does to make the world a better place, the work that we do in Africa to make the world a better place. And I didn't get past pastor. He said, you're a pastor? He said, amazing that you are in my car right now. This must mean something. He said, you know what? He said, I have been a derelict Christian. It's interesting you use the word derelict. I've been a derelict Christian for a number of years. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that I told God that I don't believe in him anymore. And I thought, isn't that weird to tell God you don't believe in him? But I didn't bring up that little inconsistency, but I just thought, okay, whatever. And he said, you know, it's been real rough for me. He said, over the last couple of years, both of my parents passed away. And my wife was killed in a car wreck. And I've been mad. I've been depressed. I've been down. And these are my words now describing this scene, not his necessarily, but you get the picture. And he said, I was upset with God. And I just told him, I don't believe in him. I don't believe in you anymore. And I said, you know what? I said, that's okay. So let me just tell you this. You may not believe in God, but he still believes in you. And he said, I'm coming to church. And I thought, well, you know, they all say that. You know, he said, no, I'm coming. He said, give me your card. I didn't have a card. He said, he hands me a piece of paper. Write it down. I'm coming to your church. You will see me in a couple of weeks. I don't know if he's here today, Don, or if you're here today, come up and see me after the service. But he said, I will be there. So he dropped me off and got the car checked in, and they gave me a loaner car. The next day, I went back. They called up. I was on the way into to church and still had the loaner car, and they called me up, and they said, hey, it's ready. Come on in. We'll change out the car. So I got there, and they drove Linda's car up, and it was fixed. And I said, what was wrong with it? And they said, oh, the gas cap was loose. And I thought, whenever Linda filled it up last. No, you're jumping to a wrong conclusion. Because in Oregon, you can't put your own gas cap back on. Come on, right? I've tried it. They won't let you. They get really mad at you, in fact. But I thought, God, you arrange for a gas station attendant to not twist the knob on enough so that I could have to go with a tow truck driver and share Christ with him and have a spiritual conversation that may just turn his eternity around. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.